Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us wherever you are, whenever you are, because so many of you listen at your convenience from all over the world, and that is so cool. My guest tonight is Amy Flynn, who does all kinds of consciousness work, helps people with change and transformation, and calls herself a spiritual energy shifter. And I've known her for years, but never really had a conversation with her for any length of time, so I'm looking forward to this. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And this has been a really strange week for so many reasons. But let me start with physics. It always surprises me or angers me or in one way or another upsets me that so many people can go through all of school, get out of high school, and have no idea about some of the basics of science. For example, what Einstein figured out 100 years ago, it's over 100 years ago, he figured out that everything is energy, but some of that energy appears to be particles. So things are both energy and particles at the same time. In other words, physical stuff isn't just physical. Physical stuff is energy, which, of course, mystics and shamans and other people who look at the world in a different way could have told you and did tell everyone for the last 9,000 years. So what that means is, as Einstein put it, reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one. And why am I talking about that in particular tonight? I can rant about physics and its relationship to spirituality anytime. But it's been a week of many people that I either knew personally or who were performers I cared about dying. So what is, when we talk about people dying, what are we talking about? We're talking about their physical body no longer functioning. Well, what do we know about that from the basic laws of physics? The laws of thermodynamics tell us energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change form. So the physical body is no longer working. It's no longer animated. But the energy of who that person is can't disappear. It's not possible under all the basic laws of physics and how we understand the universe. Can't go away. And that's the underlying idea of life after death. It's, you have to go somewhere. People can argue and discuss where that is, what it looks like, what it means, and all of that. But you have to go somewhere. So three people that I was aware of made their transition this week. And two of them were performers that a lot of people are familiar with and care about. One was David Bowie. And I have a friend who was very upset about his death and had been following his career for most of her life. Another one is Alan Rickman, who most people know as Professor Scape in the Harry Potter movies, but he did some other things that I absolutely loved. He was a wonderful actor. But the one that affected me the most was an old friend of mine, one of my best friends, kid brother Jay. And like some of the other people that died this week, Jay smoked his entire life, and he had diabetes for decades. So it all caught up to him. And he was pretty miserable for the last year. And having not talked to him for decades, I got to talk to him a lot for about a month or so, even though he's living in Australia. How cool is it that we now have technology that lets us hang out with people that live on the other side of the planet. It's really amazing. So I got to go through my own process of what, you know, what's life about and what am I doing and all of those things we think about when our friends die. The other thing is Jay was younger than I am. And the two performers who died were only slightly older than I am. And that's, what's the right word? Creepy? It really makes one look at mortality and what does it mean, and realizing that I have no idea how long I'm going to live. I mean, I don't have cancer like two of them did. I don't have an infection like Jay had. I don't have any of that going on. I'm a really healthy guy, and I don't know how long I'm going to live. No idea. So how do I live my life to make the most, and this is a cliche, to make the most of the time I have left without knowing how long that time is? And most of us don't think a whole lot about that. We just do the things that we're doing with the people that we do them with and hope everything is going to be okay, whatever being okay means. But what do you want to do? How do I want to make a difference in the world? If I don't have many more years, you know, I've been told by several people that I'm going to live to 120 or 130, which could be very interesting as long as I'm healthy. But who knows? So I have a lot of questions for myself, but I suggest that they're questions for all of us. How do you want to make a difference in the world? What makes a difference to you? What makes you happy? Are you willing to be happy? Is there such a thing as too happy or too comfortable or too amused? How do you take care of yourself? Could you take better care of yourself? All of those questions which really don't get asked unless you're in a crisis. And so I'm taking this little moment of watching and assisting other people at the end of their lives to ask myself some questions. And I suggest that it might be an examination that's useful to you too. Who are you? What do you want to do? Anyway, that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's spend some time with the wonderful Amy Flynn, who, as I mentioned, does fascinating energy work. She runs workshops, and she also channels an amazing entity, which she'll tell you about, a piece of consciousness. Amy, you with us?
I'm here. I got to say some things to your metaphysical musing, too. Oh, anyway,
okay.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here with you. That was a really cool musing. And you said some things, and then you kind of contradicted them with your feelings. So this is what I know through direct experience, not because of what people say, but because of some interesting experiences that I've lived, which I'll share one or two with you, because we don't have time for me to share my whole life. anyway, no one goes anywhere when they die. It's, if you could imagine the physical body kind of like a jacket or a coat that you put on a cold winter day, you know how you got you, and then you put a lot of layers on, and the, you know, you put this big bulky thing on because it's cold, and then you go outside. Then you come back in, and you take it off. You just unzip it and take it off and hang it up. That's really what's happening when people step out of the physical. It's really that. It's kind of like stepping out of this physical vehicle or thing, and they just kind of hang it up, and they go back to what they have never stopped being, which is pure energy. See, we are the non-physical and physical, even when we can perceive of ourselves as physical. Because, like one thing you did say, which is the physical world is all an illusion, which it is, because the physical world is a perception of energy. And if there's 7.8 billion people on the planet, there's 7.8 different perceptions of the energy that we are and that the world is, which means there are 7.8 billion worlds. And No, we can't all see each other's world exactly the same. And so therefore, can we all get each other to see our point of view and whatever? No, it's kind of futile. So what we need to learn is to just allow that they see their things, and they can't possibly really see ours and see things the way that we do, nor can they understand our viewpoint. And once we get to that point, we'll have peace on the planet. And then we can start working together. Okay, let's, you know, partner and let's do this and whatever and have fun. But anyway, back to this whole thing is that when these people, including all of the people that you named, leave, all they're doing is really taking off the coat that is them. So a good way to understand how we are or how we be when we're physical is if you could imagine this giant blob of energy in the sky. I mean, this giant blob, that's consciousness. If you could think of it as a giant amoeba, even though consciousness and energy doesn't have a boundary per se, it's infinite, it just keeps expanding. But it's like that. So it's consciousness. And it's almost like a giant sea of consciousness. And this blob extends little hair-like projections off of itself and to extend its or increase its surface so that it can experience more and know more. That's what little projections off of anything do. They increase the surface. And each one of these little hair-like projections has got the ability to experience things as consciousness. And in order for it to fully experience its existence, it needs to think that it is an individual entity and to kind of become a little unaware of the fact that it's still connected to this larger thing to get, you know, a true experience of whatever it's experiencing. So you got all these hair-like projections living their thing, living their lives, doing their thing. And this includes planets, stars, animals, you know, other galaxies. Everything is a hair-like projection off of this one thing. And we are, too. And we think that we are cut off. We think that we're separate. We don't go around realizing that this overall consciousness, that all that is, the all-knowingness, that all-knowing wisdom and energy is flowing through us and is us at any time. And as a matter of fact, it's more like it's more of us, like 90% of us is non-physical, whereas even just 10% of us is physical, even while we are what we call alive in the body. But we don't think of that. And therefore, we think of ourselves as being having an end. What everyone is evolving to, and a lot of what I do, is help people awaken to the experience of, not just hearing it, because words are nice and people can hear the words and say, yeah, that kind of sounds right, that kind of feels right. But when you actually get an experience of it for yourself, it's kind of undeniable. And it also gives you a reference point and it becomes a part of your cellular memory. So what this is, what, you know, what my objective is, because I've had these experiences and I know once I've had these experiences, I cannot deny that this is so. No matter how much I want to say, oh yeah, that's not so, or that, you know, I can't, because I had the experience. Once you have an experience, you can't unhave it.
Right.
So if people can experience themselves as who they are, the individual identity that they are within the body, and feel, be 100% aware of this larger self, this larger infinite pouring of non-physical energy and wisdom and just all-knowingness. That means all the knowing that there ever was and ever will be is accessible to you now.
Mm-hmm.
You can tap into it. It's in your body with you. And when you know that and when you can feel it, you live your life from what I call, and it turns out a lot of other people call also, I've discovered that they use the same term, the blended state. The collective, who, and I'll tell you who the collective are in a moment, gave me that term. The blended state is because you're blended. All of you is blended, the non-physical part of you and the physical part of you. And it's like something larger than you is looking through your eyes with you. You always have a buddy. You always have a partner. And this buddy and partner is completely all-knowing and wise. So it's a really, really great place to go, to be, to live your life from, and it feels wonderful. So when you talk about these people leaving their bodies, one I actually knew for, you know, and I know for sure, that was David Bowie. I had the opportunity to actually know him a bit. And so there's no way that if you think the energy that is David Bowie is just going to stop, he's not. David Bowie now no longer has the physical body that we called or knew David Bowie, but the consciousness that is David Bowie is still here. And David Bowie will be flowing along with all of the massive consciousness into other people who are creative, musical people. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to see a lot of David Bowie-like and David Bowie-esque things being created because David himself is going to have a hand in that. So David Bowie hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped being. It's just that he took off the body because his coat got worn out.
It's a nice
way to put
it.
You can think of that. And the thing is, when the time comes for you to take off your physical body and transition back to just being 100% non-physical, you'll know this exactly like this. And you'll wonder, wow. Look at all these people here thinking that they're just so mortal, and when this physical aspect of them, when their coat wears out and they got to take it off, you know, because it's falling apart, you'll just, you know, wonder if people could know this while they're here living. How much different would people live? And the answer is they'd live very differently because it's almost like this big fear that kind of haunts everybody throughout their life. So we can eliminate this.
Since I do shamanic work, I'm in both states most of the time. And yes, indeed, I agree with everything you're saying, except the issue of consciousness means that if people are confused or drugged or any number of other things, they die suddenly and don't realize they're dying, they can have a hard time at transition. And that's a lot of the work that I do. So I agree, and there are some issues that I deal with that are about being confused about not understanding of all that.
It's not that they're confused. They have an attachment. If they have an attachment to the physical. Once you return to the non-physical, confusion doesn't exist. Confusion is a physical manifestation. It's a physical interpretation of a state. In the non-physical all-knowingness, you can't be confused, but you can have an attachment. And so it's like they weren't as ready as they could be to let go of being physical. So what they exhibit and what you're seeing or reading as confusion is it's like they're holding on. It's like they're trying to still grasp something that they're not. And so that might seem like it's confusion, but it can't be confusion because there's no confusion in non-physical. There just isn't. How can you be all-knowing and confused at the same time?
That is a question unto itself for another time.
Yeah, really.
The question I typically ask my guests at the beginning is, how did your life unfold such that you're doing this stuff now? You know, what was your journey?
Well, my journey was really interesting. Okay, so I gave everything that I said is really germane to my journey and my story, so that's part of the reason why I shared it, because it makes sense and it will help explain some things. When we're born, we know everything that I just said. We realize that we're non-physical. We realize that we've chosen to extend a part of ourselves forward into the physical and experience being physical in the world. I also want to insert something really, really quick at some point as to what physical reality is. Maybe I'm going to do that now because it will help explain, help relate to something else that I'm going to say in a moment.
Okay.
So what physical reality is an interpretation of energy and vibration. So in other words, there is no physical reality per se. Physical reality is a projection that we make. So we do create physical reality. We learn physical reality, we create it. So if everything is energy, and you talked about how energy is different for moving vibrations and waves and whatever, slower ones and faster ones and whatever, we learn to perceive certain types and combinations and speeds of vibrations and waves and as physical. So it's like we see them or we, whatever, we have these physical senses, so we can say see, and we interpret that feedback comes into us, and we have learned to interpret that particular vibrational pattern or particular wave pattern as, say, a desk or a chair or another person. So then we project out our reality or what we interpret that energy combination to be. That's why there's 7.8 billion different worlds here, because no one projects out the same thing. No one interprets exactly the same. And an experience to validate this and to know that this is so is if you go to a movie with 10 people, 10 people do not see the same movie.
Sure.
They do not. And movies, we know, are just energy. It's a light beam projected up at a screen, and it's just energetic, you know, patterns on a screen that we interpret, we read or understand as these pictures, these moving pictures and these forms and whatever. And that becomes our reality for the time that we're in the movie theater. But then we come out and we talk to one another, and no one has seen the same movie. That is exactly like life. No one's living the same life. It's really interesting. So that's why it's important to really focus on your experience and your world and not try to change others, because you can't. You can help give people tools and so on and so forth, but you really can't change what their perception is because you don't even know what their perception is. Anyway, so my story is, like all babies, I was born knowing, you know, that I was this energy, and I knew I was born into a field of energy. And if you've ever seen a newborn infant, you can tell that in newborn infants do not see form, because if you look at the newborn infant, it's looking around the space, but it's not right. Focusing on anything. And when it looks at you, it doesn't focus at you, or it doesn't focus on you. It focuses through you. It looks through you. It looks in your direction, and it's almost as if it's looking through you, into you, because it's not seeing the form that you are. They haven't learned to understand, interpret, or project form. And so for some reason, I don't know if it was a decision that I made or a desire that I had in coming here, or if it was the circumstances that I encountered in my life, I just never stopped knowing this. And so I grew up relating to and knowing the non-physical. I knew that the, quote, air, because I was a little kid, so I didn't have terminology at all. And I didn't grow up in a spiritual environment. My family was like, just very materialistic and just completely not spiritual at all. So I had no grounding or no basis to understand what I was experiencing, but I knew it was absolutely true because it was my experience. I learned not to speak about it to a lot of people.
Right.
But what I knew was that the air and the space around me was filled with consciousness, was filled with beings, and I called them the air beings. And I also felt this other knowingness within me too. And so I spent my childhood being in the physical, talking and relating to physical beings, and also relating and talking to and receiving tremendous amount of love and knowing from non-physical. Mm-hmm. That was my normal. And it was great. It was really great, because the physical people would often be, the physical people are not able to always flow unconditionally. They are so reactive, but non-physical is completely unconditional. So you get this knowingness, you get this love beyond anything that exists in the physical plane. And it was just absolutely wonderful. And the part that I call the collective is actually the larger non-physical part of me that everyone has,
right,
flowing through me. And I just call it the collective because it's a little long to say my larger non-physical part. So... And human beings tend to like names. So the name that came to me from them or from this part was the collective, because it is a collective of consciousness. It's not one entity or one particular consciousness. It's a collective of consciousness. So that's how I got that name.
In the illusion of space and time, we are going to have to go to a break.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
I want to make sure when we get back that we also give your web address, but we have to go to the break in just a second. Okay. My guest today is Amy Flynn, who obviously has some fantastic information to share. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files. Power Radio, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet, and sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website, too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Amy Flynn, who was sharing her story about how did she wind up doing all this stuff.
That's first, what I'm going to tell you.
But first, Amy, why don't you share your web addresses so people can find you?
Okay. I also have a present for everybody, too, which is really cool. From the collective. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you this, because this will take you to the collective's website, and you can pick this up. This is a, on the beginning of every year, the collective read the energy of the year. And they let us know, they share what is coming along and what the energy is going to be like and different possibilities that can unfold because of this energy. And the energy of 2016 is really exciting. It comes in surges, and it's got to do with how it's flowing in the galaxy, how it's flowing from the sun, you know, to the planet, and how it actually shows up. So it's really, really fun. And a lot of interesting things are going to be happening in 2016. And we can go into reaction over those things or to those things, or we can use this energy to our advantage. And what they share is how we use it, can use it to our advantage, and we can be to actually thrive in this interesting, fun energy that's going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the website for that is, or the page, I should say, is j.mp, like a jump, but you replace the U with a dot, /, What Lies Ahead 2016. Now, you need to capitalize the first letter of every word. So it would be capital W, what, capital L, lies, L-I-E-S, capital A, ahead, 2016.
Cool.
Now, I don't know if you have that link up for people somewhere that they can just click on, but what that will get them is the download of the recording. They'll get to a page that explains all this. The collective also gifted us with an energetic logo design. It's an energetic logo of 2016. And if you gaze at the logo, you're going to receive all of this energetic tuning to the energy of the year. You'll feel it. You can see it actually in the logo. And it's really, really cool. It feels really, really good to look at.
Cool.
I definitely want people to get that. And the my primary website where they can get lots of other goodies is wealthabundancejoynow.com. And it doesn't matter whether you capitalize anything there, but it's the words wealthabundancejoynow.com.
Great.
And there's lots of goodies for people to get there and lots of things for them to receive and whatever. So that's cool. So anyway, I want to get back to why I and how I got to doing what I'm doing. Everything that
Absolutely.
I shared so far kind of sets up everything and as to what happened. As I mentioned, I was flowing and connected to this larger part of me. Well, when I was in college, I was about 19. Something happened. We had a lot of students from different parts of the world that came over, and they were not, some of them were not able to really be comfortable in the culture. It was a big culture shock, culture difference. And that happened to this one guy who ended up having a psychotic break. So I knew this person, and he had a psychotic break, but I got to see that. You know, in other words, he was fine, he seemed to be fine, and then one day he flipped out and he wasn't fine. And what happened was I was walking, it was probably dusk, I would say, so it wasn't like light, but it wasn't completely pitch black or anything like that yet. And I was walking between the dorms, and all of a sudden this person jumped out of the bushes and jumped on me and sat on me and held this knife to my throat. And I recognized, you know, who it was, like I said. But I also, as soon as I looked into his eyes, I knew that no one was home. If you've ever seen someone or encountered someone having a psychotic break at the moment they're having it, no one is home. It's like you're looking into, like, someone not there. That's the only way I can describe it. And so before I could even react or even could have a thought about it, I just remember that was my last thought. Oh, No home, and he's not there, you know. How do I talk to this? You know, what? And before I really could even think further, something larger kind of, I had the feeling of this is like big energy whooshing in and rolling me out to the side. So all I became aware of was this immense field of light, this immense field of energy, and this immense field of love, and it felt so good. And I was like, whoa, this is wonderful. And so I was really basking and enjoying this. And it's funny because my mind, the part of me that, you know, I consider me, my thinking mind, came along, was there with me. And it was like having that little, like an angel or a devil on your shoulder, you know, that little cartoon thing that we...
Mm-hmm.
It was like little things on my shoulder saying, you should be afraid, you should be afraid, you should really be afraid. There's a man on you with a knife. And it sounded like that, this little squeaky voice, and it was really funny. So I was laughing at it, and I kept telling it, it's okay, look at this, this is so gorgeous, how can you be afraid, this is the most beautiful, and you should be afraid. And so finally, I just kind of ignored it, and I have no idea how long I was in this wonderful energy and this state, this beautiful, loving space. I was aware that it was very similar to the experience of the energy that I would communicate with in childhood all the time. But I was just there. I saw nothing else but this energy. I couldn't see this man anymore. I couldn't see anything physically, and I didn't have my eyes closed. I mean, as far as I knew, I never closed my eyes. Well, after a certain amount of time, which I have no clue as to how long it was, I was able to come back into what my regular consciousness, my awareness of being in my body. And here I was lying flat on my back on the ground, and the man was now standing beside me because I could see his feet and the lower part of his legs when I looked. And then I looked up, and there he was, as peaceful and serene as could be, with the, holding his hand, you know, down by his side with the knife in his hand. I mean, he just looked completely pacified, completely serene. I had no idea what happened, no idea what transpired. And I just got up. I just looked at him. He looked at me. I took his hand, I led him back to his dorm, gave him to his friends, who ended up returning him to his family in his own country, and he went into a institution, you know, for probably about 6 to 8 months to help him, which it did. And I just went back to my dorm, and I remember thinking, God, that was so fantastic. That's so wonderful. How can I get everyone to experience this? I know I'm going to have these seminars and have everybody be jumped with a man with a knife. I mean, that was what I thought immediately, right? Get everyone jumped with someone with a knife. And I said, oh, that was not going to work because I'd freak out and end up not making it. You know, they'd end up dead. So I realized, no, as soon as I had that idea, I said, no, that's not going to be a good idea. So I then was like, well, how do I do it? How can I get everyone to experience this? That was like something that I just held in my consciousness and pondered for a long, long time. And I had another more dramatic experience of going to the same place and knowing for sure that this was who I am and who everybody was and is, and where all time was, that there is no time either. And I got to go to that space. So if you ever read the Celestine Prophecy, in there they kind of talk, the first person, the narrator, the main character, kind of talks to an experience similar, though he seemed to add his own interpretation to it by saying, you know, he was seeing these, this form or whatever. There's no form. It's really just this energy and light and profound, amazing love and all-knowingness. So I've experienced this many times, and so therefore I can't deny its reality. But the last time was so profoundly absolute that I knew without a doubt that the reality that we experienced was not real. And so here I come back into this world. You know, you talked about not knowing how to be, or you know, kind of pondering a bit how to be when you think about all of these other people like dying or transitioning and your own mortality, you know, thoughts about that. Well, imagine coming back into the world after you are 100% now knowing through, because of what you just experienced and saw and knew and lived, that nothing around you is real, that it's an illusion. I mean, not concept, but real. So I didn't know how to live my life. Like, how do I live knowing that this isn't real? And so I had no idea. So I just kind of said, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And so I'm just going to kind of reinvent everything. So I just went forth and lived every childhood dream that I ever had as a little kid. You know, you have those things. When I grow up, I want to do this. I want to be that. And so not knowing what else to do, I just decided I was going to do that. And I had a blast doing it. Total blast. That was one of the, that was one of those things that I was living, was how, what got me knowing or encountering David Bowie. So I basically lived whatever I chose to live and was whatever I chose to be just by deciding to be that and do that. And that's the power of creation that we have. And it's a power that most of us don't ever really grasp that we have. We really don't. We think that it's a lot harder than that. It's really not. It's focus. It's declaring it that we are. It's focusing and stepping into it. Boom. And it was really amazing to experience that. So that last experience really was the icing on the cake that made me really know and really certain that I was committed to finding a way that everyone could experience this and know this, and know this about themselves, this, and know this, that they are this large force, this large energy, this large loving consciousness, and that their experience in the world is a projection and an interpretation of energy, and they could change that in an instant. It doesn't have to be over time. It can be in an instant. And it's only our own resistance and not knowingness that has it take a long time, or has it not show up in the way that we want it to show up. It's only us getting in our own way. So I, again, and then again, being, when I had this last experience, the most recent one, and more of them after that, too, they just were slightly different, I wasn't grounded in a spiritual community, so I had no language. Because when you talk with or you commune with non-physical source, it doesn't come through with language. It comes through right. in energy. It comes through in feelings. It comes through in thoughts, but they're not thoughts like with words. It's more of a knowing. It's like impressing a knowing upon you. Mm-hmm. And you're different after you have that knowing. It's like, you know, if you were to imprint yourself with a dent or something, you know, you're different. Now you have a dent or something. So it's that type of experience. And so I didn't have any ways to communicate it. And I spent a long time, probably decades, trying to find words to communicate, to understand what it was in words that I experienced so I could talk about it. No one had any concept of what in the world I was trying to describe because they hadn't had the experience. So it wasn't until recently that I began to get some words, and I still don't have the words that really describe it. I mean, I'm talking to you about it, but it's a concept when I speak to you and the listeners hear it. It's a concept in your mind. It's something that you're hearing about. It's not an experience that you've lived, and my words don't do it justice. So until you actually live it, you can't really know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got to do and why I became so committed to doing what I'm doing. And actually, how I'm doing it, that's the larger part of me, what I call the collective source, flowing through me, leading me as to do this, do that, here, do that. My whole business was not a decision to do. I didn't decide to do it. It wasn't like I woke up one day and said, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. I was guided step by step to like look at particular things and experience particular things and then do this and do that and be interested in particular things. And then the source would say, well, do this. Now go over there and let people know about that. And I'm like, but I have no way for them to, you know, how can I deliver that? I have nothing is set up or whatever. So, you know, I would like put myself out there and not know what in the world it was going to be like or look like or how I was going to, you know, deliver anything or what I even had to deliver. Like, was I? And it constantly just wasn't unfolding. And it was this joyful little trippy fun thing. It was like this big, giant, all-knowing friend had my hand and was saying, come on, we're going to go this way. And I'm going, where are we going? And they'd say, but here we're going to have fun. This is what everything that you want to do is over here. Come, come. And I go, okay. And that's what it was like. And that's how everything evolved. And it just really, really has, it is and has been a very fun experience. And I would love for people to have this same experience in their life. People, human beings, us, get way too serious in life. We get way too, we make things into a big deal. We make it like we have to do something, or I want to do this, or I want to have this, and it's like a matter of I must, and blah, blah, blah. And it gets so serious and heavy, and actually that seriousness and heaviness is counter to the energy that we need to be filled with and flow in order to have everything unfold. You have to be light and fluffy and filled with possibility and joy and laughter and all of that lighter energy for things to flow. Because when you're filled with that lighter energy, you are actually then in sync with all that is. You're flowing that larger part of you through you, and you have your big partner there with you, guiding you. And the big partner, Source, your collective, has the vantage point of being able to see far in all directions, whereas you, the person that you think of yourself as, don't. So it's just really, really cool, and that is how I got into being and doing as I do and be.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
So you have experiences that you set up for people that leads them?
I don't set them up per se. What I do is I channel the collective. I turn it over to Source. I channel because I can't necessarily interpret what's right for everybody or know how to create this experience. So I basically channel and turn it over to the Source. So I allow my larger part to flow through. And they whip together in the moment and experience. They speak to people. They open them up. They transform and change the energy that they're experiencing and feeling in the moment. And they give them some words, because human beings like words, and to wrap themselves around. And then they take them into a guided experience. It's really kind of an energy experience. And people call it a meditation, though it's not really a meditation. It's more like a journey into expansiveness and to what's possible and into all that is. And it's a real experience that people actually feel and they live, and it becomes a part of their cellular memory. So what it does is it gives them now a reference point in their life to remember, to go back to. So it's very, very cool. And I never know exactly what the collective are going to bring forth. but they do, and it's wonderful. It's all I can say is it's just really wonderful, and it's powerful, and it's great. And it shows up for each person to the ability that they're able to allow it to show up.
And you do this as group processes or with individuals?
I do it in a couple of ways. With individuals, I do something slightly different, but this is normally like I'll do like a seminar or a teleseminar. So it's a group thing, but yes, it's very directed at each individual. And I work with individuals one-on-one based on and relating to their particular energy signature, their particular how they've set up their energy, how they're experiencing and flowing energy, and where they're blocking their energy or not allowing their energy to flow, and where they've built up or where they're holding specific energy clumps, which are really emotional or feeling clumps, that's just not allowing them to be open and experience themselves and experience what is in as large as they could. And so I call those trapped emotion energy clearings, because it really does that. But I also reset their whole energy, clean them out, reset their whole energy, and they're much more able to live in a larger way and experience possibility that they couldn't before. Why they do and how it works and all that stuff, I can kind of like try to find words for, but the bottom line is, I don't know, but it works. And it's different for each person who shows up, because it depends how open they are when they show up, how willing they are to become more open and release things. I can release things from them, but people can pick them right back up.
Yeah, that is the problem.
You know, and I think that's a lot of what you encounter with your ghosts, is they're picking something right back up. And you basically are doing a very similar thing with the non-physical as I'm doing with people who are here in the physical.
Yeah, I work with people in the physical too, but yeah, ghosts are an interesting little conundrum. But
But that's what I do with the one-on-one, and the larger sessions are group sessions. I also have a group session that I do monthly, and this is like super, super, like low cost, because I want to get people to experience it. And when people do, it's like amazing what could happen. I channel very, very high frequency energy, multidimensional, from like fifth through 12th dimension, and I just openly channel it. And I channel it, I send it to people, wash them through with it, if you want to call it, rinse them out, you know, fill them up with it. And, it's just great. And it just wonderful, cool things happen. And what's happening is all of that resistance, all of that heaviness, all of the where they've like clenched onto something and they're hanging on, releases. The non-physical part of me, the collective, sent me through an illustration of this. And it's like, if you're a hot air balloon and you're going through life, you're floating along, you're doing great, and you're feeling wonderful and things are like unfolding in your life almost magically. And then you pick up this heavy rock.
Right.
And you tie it to yourself. And you're hanging on to this rock. Well, what happens is you sink down. And it's where the energies are increasing and flowing around you, but you're not lifting off. You're anchored to the ground with this rock. You get banged around. You get like slammed around, just stay on the ground, but you're just banged around. That's when you're feeling uncomfortable. That's when things feel hard and things show up in your life that aren't working. And then we feel all sorts of emotions like fear and upset and whatever. And what this energy session does, it's a multidimensional money Reiki session, though it's not about money. It's about all that is, all of your life. It originally started only about money, but now it's evolved to be much more. But MMR is what I call it, and it's such a cool name that I just left it MMR.
Well, we're running out of time. You've had so much to say. So where can people find the rest of the information on the website that you gave? What was that website?
Okay. The first website is Wealth Abundance Joy Now.
Mm-hmm.
And here they'll get to look at things like the MMR. They'll get to see some of the different things that the programs of the collective have done. It's just wealthabundancejoynow.com.
Fantastic.
Now, the other one is where they can get the free 2016 talk. And I'll also give them the primary website of that, because this is the collective's website, and they can see many of the different programs that the collective has sent through that are those things that I just spoke about, too. All right, so to get the program, the recording, it's J dot. It's the word jump, but you put a dot where the U is. So it's J.MP/ what, the word what with a capital W, lies with a capital L, ahead with a capital A, 2016.
Great.
So it's what lies ahead 2016.
We've got
all
to wrap it up.
All the first letters of the words are uppercase or capitalized.
We've got to wrap it up. Thank you so much for being my guest tonight, Amy.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. Can I give them the collective's website also?
Very quickly, because we really do have to.
Okay. That is thecallofyourbeing.com.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you again. My guest tonight has been Amy Flynn, with all her fascinating work with the collective. And thank you so much for being with us, Amy.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Me too. If you're curious at all about who this guy David is and what in the world does he do, you can find that at househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab
are all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of whatever's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it might be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show and the archives, you can find that at thefarkasfiles.com. And the show is on Empower Radio every night at 9 p.m. There's a show from the archive. We do a live show on Thursdays, and we're also on just about every streaming media outlet there is: iTunes Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, I forget all of them. So you can find us everywhere, and I hope you will, because it's very exciting that people all over the world join us. So it's been an exciting evening. Again, I'm so excited that Amy could spend some time with us. Until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.